want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to another week here in beautiful Brevard County, and we are thankful that you have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship, and taken advantage of this opportunity to tune into the Refresh radio program Mondays through Fridays, 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening, right here on 91.5 FM, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM. And let's see, there's a sign back here. It says some of the other frequencies that you can listen to WWBC are 99.9 FM in North Brevard, 94.7 FM in Central Brevard, 100.7 in South Brevard, and 1510 AM in all of Brevard. So I'm so glad that sign's back there. I saw that and I said, I need to pass those frequencies out. So you can find WWBC 1510 AM. I know some people only have AM radio, and in my vehicle that I drive most of the time, I only have FM. I don't get the AM, so I need some of those other frequencies to hear about it on the AM dial while listening to through an FM transmitter. So today we want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions for their support. 321-759-3284. 321-759-3284. You know, sometimes you might have an AC problem and it not really be a mechanical issue. It may be a maintenance issue. And so if your air handler freezes up, you know, right now, as hot as it is, you need to figure out some way to give your air conditioner a little bit of a break. You know, our hearts beat 24/7, but man-made components don't work too well when they are functioning all of the time at peak capacity. So you need to figure out some way to give your unit a little bit of a break. And one of the things that I had talked with Bill about, and so I'll pass this along to you, is that you don't want your AC unit to have to be working super hard, you know, which, you know, if you're at 80 degrees and you want to bring it down to 68 degrees, well, that means your AC is really, really hard to be able to make that a reality. And so what I did is I narrowed my thermal differences throughout the days. I've got a programmable thermostat, and you know, when people aren't in the house, the temperature would go up, and then I would bring it down during the nighttime hours when we get home. And so to make sure that my AC was not having to make up huge grounds of difference, I narrowed those windows. And I'm hoping that will pay off with some lower electric bills, through the course of the summer here. I'm always looking for a way to make some improvements so that my, electric bill decreases and my bank balance increases. And so, if you've got AC issues, you might think it's the end of the world and that there's thousands of dollars getting ready to flow out of your pocket. But if you call Creative AC Solutions in Central Brevard County, 321-759-3284, he's based in Merritt Island, he might be able to come out and say, you know what, we don't even have to replace a part. We just need to do a little bit of cleanup here. I say that to tell you he's not going to lead you astray. Bill will give you sound advice and will take good care of you. 321-759-3284. Today we're going to go back in the scriptures to Deuteronomy chapter 5. On Friday, we were talking about how God delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses. Wouldn't you like a personal delivery like that? These are custom made. They are handmade by God. And they were delivered to Moses. And so we're going to be looking at these Ten Commandments. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Remember, the purpose that we're talking about, the reason that we're talking about this is that we want God to deliver us from evil. And one of the ways that that happens is God always lets us know in advance what the expectations are. That's one of the differences between God's method of operation and the devil's method of operation. God always tells us up front. The devil always tries to come along with the fine print later on and say, oh, did I forget to mention this? So, you know, God prepared Adam and Eve, set them up to succeed. There's only one thing that they needed to avoid, and yet they couldn't do that. They believed the devil's lies, and as a result of that, sin entered and humanity suffering and paying the price ever since. Thank God that Jesus came to reverse the curse, and you and I can live a blessed life. So as you're looking at this, one of the ways that we are delivered from the evil one, just like Jesus when he was tempted, is he had the Word of God. The Word of God that we hide in our heart that we might not sin against God. That Word of God that is true, so we do not believe a lie. So we are going to look at these, and we probably won't, you know, spend huge amounts of time going through these things. I just want to give you a little bit of a refresher of the things that God delivered for the success of humanity. So in verse number 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 5, you will find these in Exodus chapter 20, and you will also find them in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse number 6 says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. So God starts off and he says, look, this is what I have done for you. And you would find that going back into Exodus, that God describes what he did in Egypt was he delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. He delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. He heard their cry, and he came and he delivered them out. He brought them out so that he could bring them in. And so he describes the blessings that he has already been to their life. A lot of people want the blessings of God without the covenant of God. And I will tell you that that is not a way or a path to a long-term healthy relationship with God. That's going to lead to a very frustrating experience with God for you, because God wants to walk in covenant, not convenience. God wants to walk in covenant, not just whenever it's comfortable. And he says here, you shall have no other gods before me. That means nobody and no thing gets to take God's seat on the throne. Nobody and no thing gets to take God's seat on the throne. First of all, they don't have the credentials that God has. They do not have the might. They do not have the wisdom. They do not have the love. They do not have the power that God has. They don't have your best interest in mind the way that God does for you. And he says, you shall have no other gods before me. John Bevere had written or had a curriculum a few years ago, and I don't remember exactly which one it was. I just remembered seeing this little video blurb about this young man who happened to be his son, and proposing to this young lady. And this young lady was said, oh yes, I will marry you, and I will be true to you 6 days a week. But, you know, a girl's got to have her time to go out. And it goes on, and there's all of this stuff. And, you know, finally the young man gets up and walks away and says, you know, I don't think we're viewing this relationship through the same perspective, through the same level of commitment. And so I want you to understand that God, we'll talk about this here in the next, but God is looking for a relationship of commitment and covenant with you and I. So we have got to make sure that no one's perspective, no one's input, no one's voice, there is a proposal out in one of the states out west, I could name it, but I'm not going to name it, that their legislature is trying to ban or trying to compel churches to adapt their practices to fit some modern philosophy and wanting literally to compel churches to do things that are not in line with the Ten Commandments. Okay, they're not in line with the Word of God. And so I've got to tell you that when something like that happens, whether it's the king, as it was with Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, look, you've got to bow your knee. And they said, we're sorry, but we are not going to be able to bow our knee and worship you. Worship is set aside exclusively for God. My wife was doing a study last year, and she came upon this principle that said that your worship and your work are tied together. They're one and the same. And so whenever we're working, when we don't give anybody else the ability to dictate to us that is going to set aside God's voice in order for their voice to take place. And so you and I, if we're going to worship God, we've got to be all in with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. That's the way that we have got to do. We cannot have any other gods before Him. Okay. The second, I find this interesting. Okay. Listen to commandment number two, that Moses is giving, this commandment is being delivered to Moses while he is up on the mountain. Okay? This is the commandment. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water or under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. By the way, I will tell you that these first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. The final six have to do with our interpersonal relationships. So, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. Well, God is delivering this commandment to Moses that we started talking about on Friday, Deuteronomy chapter 9, Aaron is down at the base of the mountain giving priority to the voice of the people, and he's making a carved image. He's making a carved image. Now, you have to remember that they came out of Egypt where there were lots and lots of gods, lots and lots of images. And so they had, after 4.5 centuries of bondage, they had grown accustomed to a visual link to what they were worshiping, to the God that they were worshiping. But God is not like the rest of creation. God is spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God isn't just a God amongst an entire pantheon or plethora of gods. He is God all by Himself. There's none who can compare. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. They operate in unity. They're not in competition with one another. They are functioning in unity. And God says here, you shall not make for yourself a carved image for you to serve or to worship. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now, that phrase has been used to derail the faith of many, to where they will say, well, you know what? If God is a jealous God, if he is that insecure, then I don't want to worship a jealous God. You misunderstand. We underestimate what God is saying here whenever we devalue that concept of God being a jealous God to a representation that we have labeled in the jealousy of human beings. Human beings get jealous because of what they are losing. Okay? A guy gets, I remember dealing with jealousy when I first got married. I can remember the situation very vividly, that my wife and I were on our honeymoon and I saw a guy staring at my wife, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute now, that's my wife. And I want you to know, I cherish my wife. I love her. And I'm looking for her best interest, not just my best interest. And so when people say, well, I'm not going to serve God if he's a jealous God, God's jealousy is not like man's jealousy, where man is jealous because of things that have caused him loss. God is jealous for us because he knows that the plans that he has for us, he knows the things that we are going to suffer and lose if we start worshiping other gods, that we are opening up ourselves to the devil for him to steal and kill and destroy. God is jealous for us because his plans for us are to bless us and not to curse us. His plans are for us to have life and not death. His plans are for healing and not affliction. He knows the plans that he has for us. And every time that we choose to set up an idol or some lower level entity and give it the reverence and the awe and the preference that we should be giving to God, he knows that we're going to suffer loss. Now, it goes on and says this, that there are children that are impacted to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. You know, I don't know too many people that like to see children suffering. I don't. And I want to be careful how I say that, how I say this. I'm not placing a blanket statement or anything like that. Sometimes we suffer because of our own choices, but sometimes our choices impact the ones that we are supposed to love. What God says here is if that we are going to have gods before him, and if we are going to degrade his image to where we are likening him to a created being or to the level of a created being instead of creator God, that's because we have a level of hatred towards God. And it's going to impact it can impact generations of our descendants that we would never want to suffer simply because we do not have a right relationship with God. I was reading something the other day about a person, and they were talking about how devastated their family relationships are that they couldn't find one positive relationship role model in their entire extended family. And when I read stuff like that, it breaks my heart, because that's not God's plan for humanity. That's the devil's plan for humanity. Okay? Now, I can tell you this, that third and fourth generations being impacted by people who have a hatred towards God is overshadowed by God's display of mercy, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Thousands, not just talking about thousands of individuals, but thousands of generations. That he says that if we will love him, if we will not reduce Creator God to a visible manifestation of a created aspect of our cosmos, he says, your generations are going to see my mercy. Showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Love and obey. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. It doesn't say until I go to the cross and then you can do whatever you want. You know, we talked about the frustration in Romans chapter 7. Listen, when God comes in, he wants to show us mercy, and he knows that any person in any family can be the chain breaker and transform a lineage that has experienced pain and suffering and heartache and turmoil and misery. One person could be the chain breaker that sets that entire family on a different course. You could be the person today. You say, man, there have been nothing but alcoholics in my family, or drug addicts in my family, or criminals in my family, or broken relationships in my family, or poverty in my family, or sickness in my family. I encourage you today that if you're tired of that sort of legacy, of that sort of history, that you be the person that says, God, I'm coming to you today, and you are not just a part of my life, you are the main part of my life. You are not on the level of created entities. You are the Creator God. And God, I'm going to love you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to keep your commandments with all my heart. And God says, I'm getting ready to show you mercy like you have never experienced before. And it is going to be such a tie of mercy that it is going to be impossible to contain it just in your lifespan. But I'm going to pour out this mercy upon your descendants for thousands of generations. Can I tell you something? God, the priority in your life will be a greater blessing to your family than millions of dollars could. I know millionaires who are absolutely miserable. Their lives are broken. There's just devastation all around them. Money is not going to buy your family the security that you are looking for. It's not going to bring them the peace and the happiness and the joy. God, your relationship with God. Men, if you want to be a blessing to your family, fall in love with Jesus. Serve him, you've got inside of you, and watch the impact that relationship that you have takes upon your family. It's not going to be something that you are going to have to, you know, make happen. It is going to be God demonstrating. You see, there is a difference between having mercy and demonstrating mercy. You could be a merciful person, but if you never demonstrate it, then there aren't going to be people who know about that. For instance, mercy, you know, just as you might not think that I'm a natural born introvert, you might not think that mercy is my primary gifting, but it is. But I ran across a class one time that was taking place at our church, and the Sunday school teacher said, you know, one of the most merciful things that could happen is when you have demonstrated mercy and the people are not receiving the mercy, that mercy move out of the way so that exhortation can come and step up and bring about transformation so that mercy can be clearly seen in their life. And I was like, that actually makes sense. And I will tell you, the first time that I ever put that into practice, I remember seeing the success, the transformation in the relationship that took place. And I said, wow, I'm really amazed that worked. and when I looked at that, I saw success there where I had seen failures time before. And so I want to encourage you, live out the mercy of God. Allow God to have his perfect way. Don't fall in love with any created being. You know, there are some people that get fixated on this particular commandment, and they say, well, you can't have a painting on the wall, and you can't have an artistic lamp or anything like that, or any artistic decoration around your church. And that's not what this is saying. This is not saying you can't have decorations around your house. What this is saying is you don't worship those things. You don't do like David and get enamored with created Bathsheba and compromise your relationship with Creator God. You say, you know what, God, you're spirit, and I'm going to worship you in spirit and in truth. And there's no one and there's nothing that is going to take my eye, nor is it going to take my heart away from worshiping you. God has your best interest in mind. He's got my best interest in mind. His plan is the best plan. Don't short circuit the process. And of the blessings of mercy that God has for you and your descendants. So thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program today. One more time, if you do have an air conditioning need, you can reach Creative AC Solutions at 321-759-3284. Choose Jesus today, worship him with all your heart, and you're going to find the blessings of God extended to you and your family. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Shadow on the